Well, people are just about fed up with everything these days, aren't they? So maybe it's time this hour for Sound Off Open Lines. And welcome back to Open Lines here on Coast to Coast AM. And don't forget, we take your text questions as well. Tom is back in the L.A. studio, and he's got that. Lots going on here in the St. Louis area. Friday, we're going to be taping a pilot program, television program, and we've got about 95 people in the audience from the St. Louis area, and we'll see how that's going to work out. It's got a lot of different elements, and I'll tell you about that a little bit later on. But let's go to the calls. Let's go to Joe, truck driving in Idaho, to get us started here. Hey, Joseph, go ahead.
How's it going?
Good.
Government cover-ups. You know, nothing being done about, you know, like the Hillary Clinton stuff and the IRS.
Tell me more.
You know, I was just like, what? Well, how come no one knows? How come, like, the Benghazi thing? And, you know, and then now with all this coming up with about her, you know, pretty much getting money while she was doing state affairs when she was in office, you know, why isn't anything being done?
Well, ironically, Hillary was in St. Louis today. She was at a little fundraiser. But why isn't anything being done? Because it just goes too slow. Simple as that. First of all, unless the media picks up on the story, nothing's going to get done, quite frankly. And that's the way it is. And that's, you know, one of the reasons why every once in a while we take a little time out of this program to let you sound off about things that are out there, because it is frustrating. Look at this fast-track trade bill that may pass in the Senate this morning. Who knows what's going to happen there? It's a bill that they don't want you to read. They say you cannot read it. You're not supposed to. It's proprietary. But they want it passed and implemented as law. It doesn't make any sense at all. Let's go to John. We're going way out now on our international line to Switzerland. John's with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, John, go ahead.
Hi, George. I'd like to talk about the Stars and Bars for a moment and
sure.
How that play came into being. The Civil War is an extension of the War of 1812 and the Revolutionary War. And the reason why I say that is America is still a British colony. And there is an article on the internet that states that exact thing. America is still a British colony. And what it states in the article is that King George of England decided to allow the Americans to win the Revolutionary War, but at the same time, he still wanted his payment for starting the colonies here in America. And so the local American lawyers were still basically British subjects. And so the War of 1812 was all about the 13th Amendment, which was an amendment to the Constitution against the lawyers of that were representing Great Britain here mm-hmm. in the United States. And so the they came over to the United States, the War of 1812, and they took away the documents that indicated that the ratification of the 13th Amendment had taken place on all the United States, and it was ratified. So they had to perform that war to take away the issue of the fact that the lawyers were representing England here in America. And so then the Revolutionary War came into being because you've heard the statement that the best slave is someone that doesn't even know that they're a slave.
Hey, John, I'm losing you on the phone, so get back on the phone there.
I'm right on the phone. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, not as well as it should be, but go ahead.
All right. So the Civil War was because the Southern property owners wanted their life, liberty, and their pursuit of property, not just their pursuit of happiness, but their pursuit of property. And the reason why they were upset is the property taxes were taking away the property that they had bought over the course of time, and they couldn't really pass it on to their children because the property taxes over the course of 30 years would actually buy back the property from the property owner.
All right, John, let me ask you, though, where are you headed with this?
Well, Slick, what I'm trying to say is that the Stars and Bars, the war plague of the South, had to do with righteous men of America trying to keep their allodial property rights, which was the fact that if they bought their property, they didn't have to keep paying taxes on their property because they already bought it, and they would, in turn, when they died, they would pass it down to their children. And so they were all upset about that. But later during the wars, when Lincoln worked in the issue of the fact that the slaves need to be freed, and that's what basically got the British on the northern side and caused the war to basically go against the South, because
But we know what happened there. We know the end result of that situation. And look, it may have started over property rights and taxation, but it surely was all about slavery when it came to the end. And I think the North did what it had to do in order to get slavery abolished once and for all, even though things haven't really changed too much in this country. There's still a lot of hatred, as we have seen, haven't we? Let's go to Jeff in San Diego, California. Hey, Jeffrey, take it away.
Thank you so much, George. I really am a great fan of yours, and I've been a fan for a long time.
Well,
I have a couple
you.
Of questions, and maybe you could help me to understand this. People keep throwing out this arbitrary number or figure that 65 million years ago or whatever, that all the dinosaurs were wiped off of the earth by an asteroid.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, where are all the artifacts of all the other millions and millions and millions of years where dinosaurs could have, you know, populated the entire planet? We should have millions and millions of bone artifacts. Why is that we only come up with one or two dinosaurs every now and then? Oh, we discovered a dinosaur here. And those go in a museum somewhere. But you're talking about a planet where all of these dinosaurs existed for millions of years. Why don't we find all these so-called artifacts?
They must be buried so deeply, Jeff, that it would take hundreds of years for us to excavate and dig those bones up. As it is, the current dinosaur bones that we find from 60-plus million years ago are buried deep in many places as well, too. I've asked this question to a number of archaeologists and anthropologists, that if we simply left the planet alone and didn't touch it, over the course of millions of years, everything would be buried, even our biggest skyscrapers. For some reason, I don't want to say the planet's growing, but it gets covered in dirt and it gets buried. I mean, look at the Sphinx in Egypt. They had to unbury that thing. It was, let's say it was made 10,000 years ago. The modern Egyptians of that era, if you want to call them modern, saw the Sphinx like buried up to its nose. That much sand blew around over just the course of a few thousand years. Add millions of years. So I would guess that these ancient dinosaurs, the ones that go back even before 63 million years ago, are buried way, way under. And I suspect, based on Michael Cremo, we'll find out that there are even humans that might be that old down there too. Tom, you've got a text for us? What do you got?
Sure do. This comes from Bob in Nashville. He says, I want to sound off. I can't stand the banks and the utility companies that nickel and dime us for everything. I am as mad as hell, and we need new leaders in our government. When will this economy get better?
Well, we don't know when it's going to get better. That's the tough question. You know, we cannot sustain another 2008, that's for sure.
Oh, no. This guy sounds very upset.
Yep, thanks. Let's go to Vinny in Miami Beach. Vinny, your turn, east of the Rockies. Go ahead.
This is Vinny Agnoli in Miami Beach. I'm calling about the food problem. Why can't the solutions be bunkers? We take all that food that they tell them not to grow and grow it and put it in a food bunker all over the United States, all over the world. We can put these bunkers, keep food in them for 6 months supply or 8 months supply, whatever, and you don't have to worry about food anymore. That would be an emergency place to go. Why don't we just do it? We have seed bunkers. We keep seeds in case the future we run out of seeds for planting. We do have seed bunkers. And then the desalinization plants are in Israel for 50 years. They're in all the Arab countries for another 50 years. They've been using them. Why can't we use them in California?
Right. Oh, I agree with you. I think that's the biggest thing they should be doing in California right now, and that's setting up these desalinization plants all over the coasts. I mean, they're talking about the ocean levels rising. So build those plants. Take advantage of all the water that's going to keep rushing in toward the coastal lines. And you'll never have to worry about water again. I think it's the biggest mistake that they've made out there in California. They need to do that. And, you know, Las Vegas, I don't know when the last time you were there, but they're going to run into problems. They're at the mercy of the Colorado River, Lake Mead, to get their water. Lake Mead is down, I think, 150 feet, one of the lowest level ever. They got to fill that up. And nobody's developing the proper plan. They really aren't. They're talking about building a bullet train from Los Angeles to San Francisco that will cost billions of dollars. Who's going to take a train in mass from Los Angeles to San Francisco when you can fly there just like that? Doesn't make any sense. Spend the money on a water plant and get that going. Let's go to Patrick in Columbus, Ohio. Hey, Patrick, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I just want to talk about this other racism situation here in the country.
Sure.
I personally think if they would change the way they teach it when they're young, because they make it sound like it was, you know, the whites are so violent and mean and disrespectful or whatever. The stories I heard coming from my parents, you know, my great-grandparents and everything, it wasn't like that, you know? There's a lot of respect and appreciation and stuff. They're antagonizing when they start, you know, when you're young, and they make it sound like, you know, it would make me mad if somebody was telling me that, you know, this race was always like this. I mean, after all, back in the Egypt era or whatever, the whites and the Chinese were slaves for 2,000 years. Help, you know,
according
to the history, stuff I checked out.
Well, Patrick, make no mistake about it. African Americans have been oppressed in this country since they've come to this country forcibly. And I'm not talking about all white people who have done this, not at all, but you know, it's out there. The hatred is out there. The bigotry is out there. The racism is out there. I mean, make no mistake about it. It is there. Not every white person is that way at all. I would say most of us, as you have just said, are good people. But man, those that hate are haters. They're out there. Look at the sick 21-year-old who shot up the church in Charleston, South Carolina. That kid was full of hate. I don't know how his parents didn't see that. That boggles my mind. Truly boggles my mind. John's in St. Louis, east of the Rockies, and my neck of the woods right now. John, go ahead.
Hey, George, how's it going? Love the show.
Good.
I got two quick comments.
Sure.
First of all, I did have a question about that show that's coming up Friday. Is there any more room to... I'd like to see the show, but... I
think they are packed to the gills now, John.
Okay.
I'll check, but I'm pretty sure they're back. Thanks. I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, stop and see my buddy Jamaica Ray at the Crown Candy if you get a chance. You really love it.
I'll be. You know, I've been to Crown Candy before. I haven't been there in about 5 years, but
still
out there on 14th and St. Louis Avenue, right?
Yeah, it's all built up now. Nice good picnic tables across the street and playing Caribbean music outside.
Oh,
steel drums.
I love it.
Anyway, George, I had two quick comments. One was what
sure.
we just were talking about. I think we should have, you know, this the flag thing's just an easy thing to go to. It's there's issues and racism. We're doing great in this country, but we need to work on it more. It needs to go further. But automatically, when someone says racism, they automatically go to some so-called white people, black against black. Believe me, I've talked to different people. My grandson is half African American. So
mm-hmm.
you know, but anyway, there's racism on both sides. There's people
yes.
that are
oh, absolutely, you know. Absolutely.
And our terminology is totally wrong. I don't know how we're ever going to change that. When they say people of color, it's always assumed. But we're all people of color of different shades. And there's no such thing as.
But it's got to go away, John, eventually. We can't
right.
keep going down this path.
The
it's
second comment I was going to make, you talk about the dinosaurs. I think you've had people on there about a new Earth theory. But you know what? I heard you say millions of years. I cringe almost when I hear people say that. That's only based on a theory of the Earth, age of the Earth. It's not proven at all, and science has been wrong many times before. And what about the dinosaur prints that have a human footprint
mm-hmm.
found in dinosaurs.
Inside the prints. Yep, that's exactly right. Don't forget now, Michael Cremo says, humankind, modern man, 100 million years old. That's dramatic. Modern science doesn't look at that at all. I'm going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM. We'll take some more of your sound off open lines. We'll be back in a moment with more of your open line calls. On our next Coast to Coast program, we're going to be talking about Robert the Haunted Doll. Oh, boy. And then our astronomer from Britain, David Darling, joins us to talk about Planet X and giant solar flares. So make sure you're part of the program. Okay, welcome back to Coast and open lines, sound off open lines. Hey, let's go to Cornelius in Alexandria, Louisiana. Hey, Cornelius, welcome back.
Hey, George, God bless you and yours and the Coast to Coast listeners and callers and everything. It's nice to hear y'all and stuff.
Thank
you. I was just telling you, our partner Tommy, we need to get ready. Like I tell everybody, get your God, your guns, and your gold, and get your bullets, beans, and your Bibles. It's a shame, you know, George, but you've been warning us, and I was telling Tommy, Jim Baker's show and Glenn Beck program, I wish y'all would all combine. And you try to get on their shows, too, because, like I said, by you telling us getting My Patriot Supply and all like that, you trying to help us before this thing, you know, all hits the fan and stuff.
You can feel it. I mean, and I felt it for years. And, you know, I have been saying for how many years now, Cornelius, that I feel something big happening.
And get the grid, you know. If we don't get this grid fixed, I mean, it's over for all of us, you know.
And that's going to happen one day. If we don't get this grid insulated, something is going
to
happen.
I wanted the Coast to Coast listeners and callers and stuff to pray for me. I'm trying to get a presidential pardon and stuff. And I used to listen to y'all when I worked for the federal government and stuff. So we used to listen to y'all, a lot of correctional officers and prisoners and stuff like that. We love y'all. And
What kind of pardon are you looking for? Tell me a little bit about
okay.
this.
Okay. I used to work for the federal government at Oakdale, Louisiana. I was a prison guard. And something almost like this guard's in trouble because he didn't check that stuff, you know, going where those two guys escaped from
mm-hmm.
New York.
New York,
but
sure.
It wasn't that. It was an EEOC case. They got to call in the inmates and staff niggers and stuff, and I told them I wouldn't tolerate it. So I got death threats and stuff and nails put in my tires. And No help for me, George. No FBI investigation, no nothing. They just tried to get rid of me. It took them about 6 years.
Six years? Geez. Six. Did they incarcerate you?
Yes, sir.
Just for standing up for your rights.
Let me say this, George. I did write something, but if I write something and if it's threatening to you, you're going to go tell the law within 24 hours. They held this for 30 days because I was going to see a psychiatrist of my own choice because the government psychiatrist said I was fine. And so when I want to go see someone of my own choice, they said, well, it's time to get rid of them. And they locked me up for almost a year.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, we'll put you on that prayers list. Maybe you'll get that presidential pardon and parole, and I hope you're at least pushing in the right direction to get that. You've been a faithful caller and listener, Cornelius, for a long, long time. So we'll stand by you. Next up, let's go to Joe in Phoenix, Arizona. Joseph, welcome to the program. You're on the air with us.
Hi, thank you for taking the call.
You got it.
I appreciate it. I didn't expect to get on so quickly, actually. But anyway, the reason for the call was last week, I believe, or within the last week, 10 days, you had a guest. Real interesting show. And right at the end of the hour, just before, I mean, you didn't even have, I guess you had to cut him short because it was right at the end of the time frame.
Yeah.
You had to go on to another guest. He had mentioned, or it was mentioned, that Walmart, Southern Walmarts were closing, okay? And this coincides with the military,
Jade Helm. Jade Helm, and that was Jim Mars. He was talking about how strange it was for these Walmarts to be closing. And I think the company said it was plumbing problems, I think.
Okay, but again, the correlation would be what? What are they going to use them for?
He thinks they could be used as as camps to put people in these huge warehouse buildings. Doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, those big 130,000 square foot. Sure, okay. I mean, I was wondering if that's where the thought was, and that was really the reason for the call. I said, damn, I wish they would have finished that.
To be continued.
I guess it's going to be soon enough, I suppose. Really, George, thank you. I enjoy your show all the time. I don't catch it all. I usually crash out in somewhere along the line, but I'm always I like the repeats at the end of the hours and such like that. So I appreciate your show and what you do.
Thanks, Joe. You stay strong. Phoenix, a great area, by the way. I think we're going to be out there in Scottsdale in a few months at another one of our events. This is probably one of the busiest years we've had for events and stage shows all around the country and in Canada. In Canada, I'm going to be in Toronto on August 22nd. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. If you've never been to one of these shows, you'll love it. The guests that come in are just superb, and they're relaxed, and it's a great setting. Let's go to Michael in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Michael, what do you got for us? Go ahead. Welcome to the program.
George, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, sure can.
George, Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama is a national hero. He has resisted the threats of these robber barons that are running Congress, telling him he cannot say what is in this trade bill. He did that on the Sean Hannity show,
mm-hmm.
and he had with him former Congressman Duncan Hunter of California. What he tells us about this trade bill, if it passes today, as you suggested earlier in the program tonight, it will erase our borders. So it's really a backdoor immigration bill that gives the robber baron globalists the amnesty that they want. Now,
for everything, Michael. Everything.
Yeah.
It's like carte blanche for them.
Here's my suggestion. Let them walk into a hornet's nest. Let them go ahead and pass it. Because, and I'm picking up on what Cornelius just said, because that moves us to get behind two people. One man, his name, Mark Levin, a talk show host. The other man is named George Norrie. Here's the deal. We move immediately to build on the movement that Mark Levin has already begun to start a constitutional convention, to convene it in the states. Now, that's the hornet's nest. They can't stop us from doing in our state what we need to do to stop these robber barons. I give, for an example, our own congressman here in Virginia Beach, Scott Ridgel, he was against this bill. Then he went on the John Frederick show to explain why he had changed his mind. And his explanation was like the explanation of a deer in the headlights, a man full of fear. And when our good friend Alex Jones talked about people changing their minds on this bill, he linked it to Dennis Hastert. He says he believes that they have these congressmen blackmailed. I think we need to have the open debate on Coast to Coast AM, which will link every talk show in America that believes that we can fight these robber barons and win.
Let us see what happens this morning with the vote. It's supposed to pass. We're talking about Fast Track, TPA, TPP. Those are the initials. Let's hope it doesn't pass, but the odds are it's got a good chance this time. And I thought we had the thing defeated a few weeks ago. Tom, you got a final text message for me. What do you got?
We do. This is from Marianne in Wyoming. Hey, George, I'm a single mom raising a three-year-old, and I'm bringing him up not to believe in fictional characters like the Easter Bunny, the Tooth Fairy, and Santa Claus. My sister is not happy with my parenting. I know you have kids, so what do you think?
I think you need to let the kids fantasize about Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and things like that. You have to be able to do that. That's part of their imagination. Don't take them out of their life. Put them in. They'll grow up to be great kids. They'll realize at their own time limit that there may not be a hopping Easter Bunny, but the Santa Claus is within all of us. Look, I love the Christmas time period.
Oh, love Christmas.
I do. Okay, thanks, Tom. George in St. Louis, Missouri. Hey, George, go ahead.
Good morning, George. I'm sure everyone's wondered about this, too, but if you look at the last 200 years, the Industrial Revolution, the invention of the steam engine, electricity, the computer, rockets, now we're into atomic energy. There's been just a huge acceleration of inventions that have gone on just in the last 200 years, where all of mankind prior to that 200 years lived pretty much the same way, you know, on horseback and, you know, tilling the soil with plows and whatever. But there's just been a huge explosion and acceleration of invention. And I understand information now doubles every 6 years.
Yes, sometimes even faster.
It's fantastic. But the question is, what is going on here? Did the human brain all of a sudden change? Did it go through some kind of metamorphosis? Or, you know, it's just the last 200 years.
Somewhere along the line, something clicked with the human brain where knowledge just increased dramatically. And I think the computers have helped, no doubt, but they just seem to be getting more technologically advanced, faster and faster and faster. I share your same question. It's baffling at how fast things have progressed just in the last several years. I don't get it. I don't understand how our technology can grow so quickly, and I don't see it stopping. It's going to get better and better. The human mind has really developed. Dennis is in Las Vegas. Let's get you in, maybe a few more. Go ahead, Denny.
I would just like to reiterate on the last guest and kind of the guy before that. First, I'd like to say I really enjoy the show. I started listening to it about a week ago.
Oh, good. And you just found us.
Yeah. So first off, I don't think it's technology that's advancing. I think that it's all the people there is kind of collaborating together. And about the whole overpopulation thing, there's some studies going around that say that the population will kind of cap out around 9 to 12 billion, somewhere over there.
Right in the middle.
Yeah, somewhere over there. And the whole, one of your guests way earlier in the show, said something about birthing in space, and a lot of scientists believe that the how that will work, because there's no gravity to keep everything pulled down, that we'll evolve with skinnier legs and bigger heads, kind of like
the yeah, exactly.
Other than that, I don't really have anything else to say, but I really enjoy the show, and I can't wait to hear what's coming up next, because I know all about Robert and the death chair and all the
stuff. Oh, you're going to love that stuff. All right, great, Dennis, and I'm glad you you found us. You might want to consider Streamlink, too, to become a Coast Insider. It's the paltry sum of 15 cents a day, but if you miss a show, you can podcast it and get it that way. Valerie in Springfield, Ohio. Go ahead, Val. You'll be the last caller.
Hi, George. Long-time listener. Adore you. You have just been such a platform of information. I cannot thank you enough. I live close to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, and I'm sounding off tonight because of the chemtrails. And whatever they're spraying, whatever they're doing, you know, everybody out here, we're not ignorant. And people talk amongst themselves, and they're like, well, what's this, what's that? You know, the military is only going to tell you what they want to tell you. But I called the local base, the Springfield Municipal Base, and they said, well, we haven't flown out of here in a while, and blah, blah, blah. And I said, he said, had no idea what they were doing, because all the X's were everywhere, and I've been taping and pictures and everything for a long time. And so he suggested that I call Wright-Patterson and ask them, because he had no idea. And I said, do you have their number? And he said, no, I don't, for who to talk to. I said, what would you do if some ET or something came down and whatnot? And he really quickly was like, oh, we have another number for that. And he was serious. So I was kind of like, okay, you know, because I'm kind of an investigative reporter kind of a thing in my own mind. So I called Wright Pat, but I Googled the information for contacts, and it says contact here, aviation questions, blah, blah, blah. And evidently, it got the flight line. So the gentleman answers the phone, and he's like, Michael Jackson. And I said, no, seriously. He goes, Michael Jackson. I go, really? But then it went into his boss come on the phone, and he was so serious and just so wouldn't really say. And then I said, so you're just doing maneuvers? He goes, yes, ma'am.
Well, you know, Wright-Patterson is where they apparently brought the wreckage from Roswell a long time ago. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasaur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burles, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.